Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And with us, clinical psychologist, author, certified life coach, podcaster. His name is Dr. John Duffy. How are you, John?
I'm great, guys. How are you?
His podcast is Undo Anxiety, and you can find it on iTunes or on WGNplus.com. So thinking about things, if people have anxiety or depression or behavioral issues, a lot of times people automatically say, oh, we'll get them on medication.
Yeah.
Sometimes medication is necessary.
Right.
But there's something that we hear about cognitive behavioral therapy. And we hear it and it's like, okay, what does that mean exactly?
Right.
And does it go hand in hand? And
yeah.
It's helpful, isn't it?
It is. And it's something we haven't talked here a lot about, but it is the most respected form of therapy because research supports it wildly. And it's incredibly simple in terms of, you know, the way it works, because effectively it is what it sounds like it is. You address the way you think, cognition, right? Are you thinking in an adaptive way? Are you thinking positive thoughts about yourself, the world, the future? Or are you thinking in a maladaptive way? And oftentimes, almost subconsciously, we think in maladaptive ways. We think really negative thoughts, especially about ourselves. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes it falls in the category of, I'm not good enough. I'm too slow. I'm not smart enough. I'm too heavy. And in our culture, we have an awful lot of that, right? So cognition is a big part of it. And if you can shift your cognition, which is tough to do because it's a habit, thinking this way about yourself, and then changing what you do in light of that. So, you know, typically when people get depressed or anxious, they tend to be avoidant. And the things that they typically enjoy doing, they just stop doing. And they hole up and they wonder, why am I getting more depressed and anxious? You know, I'm trying to take care of myself. I'm staying home more. I'm, you know, watching Netflix instead of like, you know, well, I usually like to ride my bike along the lakefront, but I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes it's as simple as, well, go back out and ride your bike along the lakefront. You'll feel a little better. And
Right. Sometimes
these little moves, you know, get people to bigger moves.
I want to try to understand the background of what you just said.
That
so many people have all these negative thoughts about themselves. So where is that coming from? Is that people
Other
seeking
people.
Approval of their parents initially and their, you know, their peers beyond that and their loved ones beyond that? Why would so many people have those thoughts, those negative thoughts?
Yeah, it's a really good question because I ask that a lot too. You're right. Other people oftentimes, usually it comes from something from our parents. And usually it's not something our parents intend for us to think. I remember talking to a young man not that long ago who said, my parents, when I was in sixth grade, said, well, you're not getting very good grades. Maybe you're just a B or C student.
Yeah.
And they were trying to give him a little breathing room.
Right.
Like, it's okay, you know? But he felt like, ooh, you're not part of the club. You're never going to be that bright. And you're lowering your bar. You don't expect much of me.
Sure.
And so he felt terribly about himself. Not their intention, but that's how this kind of stuff tends to start.
Yeah.
And then you think about media and the messages that we get from media and kids now, the messages they get from each other, you know what I mean? Just from looking at other kids' Instagram posts, how many likes do you get? How thin do you look? You know, what party are you going to? And then, you know, the messages kind of compound on each other and you amass this negative bit of self-esteem and self-worth.
Yeah.
Does that come from someone? Because I have two boys and I hear a lot of parents of girls say they're so catty, they're so mean to one another. I'm noticing it a lot with boys too.
Yeah.
I didn't when we were growing up, but now there's a whole different breed of boys. Does this, and I don't want to use the term bullying because it's not, it's just saying crappy things like you're fat, you're stupid.
Yep.
Does that come from their own self-doubt a lot of times?
Yeah, you know, and there's this casual nature about the way kids communicate now, where if you're texting somebody, you feel kind of comfortable like ribbing them a little bit. And it's almost like road rage where you're a step removed. So you can kind of like, you feel a little more permission to lay into somebody.
Because you're not doing it face to
face. You're not doing it face to face. So there's a little cowardice to it. But yeah, boys more and more. And this wasn't true a couple of years ago, Wendy. So you're actually picking up on something. You know, a couple of years ago, girls were bullying girls. I mean, and it was, bullying was the right answer then. But I feel like that's on the ebb just a little bit. But boys picking on boys, that's picking up quite a bit lately. And I think you're right about the causes of it.
Why does that happen all of a sudden?
Yeah.
And I think it's social media because all of a sudden they're exposed to all this stuff. And if you say something mean to someone and you're doing it face to face, if you see someone's reaction that you truly hurt them, it makes you want to apologize and maybe learn and say, boy, I'm not going to do that again. But you're right with the texting and the Instagram and all that crap.
You miss the empathy part, right? And that's a problem because social media doesn't allow for that. But even before that, there are comparisons that we inevitably make, right? And kids often make upward social comparisons. So if they're doing really, really well in a class, if they're acing a class, but there's somebody who's getting a 97 and you're getting a 93, if you make these upward social comparisons, which a lot of kids do, they'll say, yeah, I did okay, but somebody's smarter than me. You know,
there's always somebody smarter, richer, thinner, prettier.
Yes, exactly. Well, that's a big part of the problem with our culture right now is, you know, we're making comparisons to often things that are unrealistic and people's, traits that are wholly unrealistic and not metrics that we're ever going to be able to really meet on our own. So we never really accept ourselves. We rarely, anyway, accept ourselves for who we are, where we are right now.
Your thoughts on this, John?
Yeah.
Most of us were brought up with this somewhere in the back of our heads, probably taught by a parent or a teacher. You're no better or worse than anyone else. You're a person on the planet, and we're all equal. But the reality of it is that in certain things, we are way better than other people, and then in certain things, we're nowhere near as good as other people.
Right.
Wouldn't that be a more realistic approach to say to kids, you are one of the people on the planet, but there's a whole lot of people that are better than you at a whole lot of stuff. But the conversely, you're a whole lot better at stuff than a lot of other people. Isn't that more realistic?
It is totally more realistic. You know, I think what we miss as parents is everybody deserves to be treated equally.
Sure.
But you might have a skill set completely different than somebody else, you know, and we're all equal kind of dismisses the second part, which is just as important, right? Because it allows for the building of self-esteem, right? You're a really good gymnast and not everybody is good at that, you know? But as parents, I think we feel like, I think I'm creating something cocky or arrogant in my child if I do that. So we overcorrect. And then there are parents who undercorrect too, and they'll celebrate the participation trophy, right? We get a lot of backlash for that too.
That's a load of crap.
For over-celebrating.
I'm sorry, it really is. It's a load of crap.
Do you think, because we didn't have that. You had to earn a trophy when we were kids. And now if you show up, and I can tell you stories of kids that didn't even show up, but they signed their names at the beginning of the year and they got a trophy. Is that a healthy thing? Because in real life, when you become an adult,
there are winners and losers in life, and you need to learn that you don't win all the time, Bill.
Yeah.
Despite last night.
Right. I'm kidding with you. But seriously, if you get a participation trophy, it's like, oh, well, I earned that. No, you didn't. You just participated.
You happened to show up. No, I totally agree with you guys. I don't necessarily think that we're creating this kind of mushy generation of kids who, you know, have this wildly inflated sense of ego. But I don't think we have to teach them that the world is perfectly fair and they're always going to be rewarded for every little thing they do. I think we want our kids to be way more resilient and competent than that, right? And recognize like, okay, I got rewarded for this because I did really well. And because I didn't try in this class, I got a D, you know? And sometimes that's the lesson that gets them going. You know, everyone has this moment where they click and they realize, oh, okay, this isn't just going to happen for me. I'm going to have to put a little work in.
Right.
And then I can feel good about putting the work in and getting that reward.
Joe has a comment. Hi, Joe. Dr. John Duffy on the air with us.
Hello, doctor.
Hi, Joe.
I don't know if this was a good thing. I think it was a good thing. You might think it was a bad thing, but I'm in my late 60s, and I remember being 4 and 5 and 6, and my mother would bounce me on her leg, and she'd say, "Who loves Joey?" And she'd say that 2 or 3 times, "Who loves Joey?" And then at the end, she'd say, "Everybody loves Joey."
Now, everybody does, Joey.
I went blissfully through my life for 30 years thinking, hey, everybody loves me.
Until that one time, right?
Is that a good thing for a child?
Everybody still loves Joey.
John, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I get your question. You know, I think it depends on the kid, Joe. And you know, like, I don't know what kind of a child you were. For some kids, they can absorb that message and get that, you know, really what I mean is, mom loves Joey, dad loves Joey, grandma and grandpa love Joey, you know, like everybody you know loves Joey. But I get your point where there it can be a little bit dangerous as you grow up and you head off into the world and you make the presumption, oh, yeah, everybody loves me. I don't have to do anything to be loved, you know. So, yeah, so I think there might be a slightly misguided message in there. You know, I think for parents listening, you know, we love Joey. That might be a good thing. That might be a good message going forward. It's a really interesting thing, right? Because, Joe, you point out, like, the language that parents use, we cling to it, you know, and we don't forget it. So it's important for parents to be kind of a little cautious and thoughtful and precise in the language they use with their kids, because here it is, you know, you're in your 60s, you're describing something that happened decades ago, and it still sticks with you, you know, this is something you remember. So for parents out there, keep that in mind that, you know, your words, even at a very young age with your kids, are going to carry some weight.
Thank you, Joe. We got to run, but we love you.
We love you
so much, Joey.
Love you. All right, 312-981-7200. Comments or questions, Dr. John Duffy with us. You can pick up his book, The Available Parent. Listen to his podcast, Undue Anxiety, and we'll continue talking. It's Bill and Wendy, 720 WGN. Dr. John Duffy is with us. We were talking about lovable Joey, who called us in. And it is interesting that he's in his 60s and he remembers something that his mom said to him when he was 4 or 5 years old.
It is.
My mom was not really big with the I love yous. Mm-hmm. She really wasn't. Conversely, every time we hang up a phone call with my husband, sons, and myself, we always go, love you, goodbye. It's sort of like a habit now. I've said it to people. In fact, if I've talked to you on the phone and say, love you, goodbye, I'm sorry. It's just kind of a sign off. But right. Then some people say if you're just saying it, you don't mean it. But I don't know. We mean it.
Yeah, I think you mean it, and I think most families mean it. I don't see a downside to that kind of affection in a family. I think it models something really positive for the future, for intimate relationships in the future, for the future of your guys with their kids. There's nothing I don't like about that. And the caution I hear about that sometimes is, ooh, aren't we raising kind of some element of softness in our kids, or are we selling them a bill of goods? Do we really mean it every time we say it? But to your point, I like that as a sign off, as opposed to something cold and aloof or completely removed altogether, right? I have no problem with that at all. I encourage that.
John, here's a text, and it gets back to what we were talking about before the break about how we have now become a nation where everybody gets a trophy no matter what.
Yes.
At my son's karate tournaments, at the end of each match, they raise the winner's hand and they say, winner. And then they raise the loser's hand and they say, always a winner. This annoys me.
Wow. Yeah, I get that.
Why don't they just raise the winner's hand and leave the rest alone?
Yeah.
They could. That's the way I think it's been traditionally done. But again, we don't want to hurt anyone's feelings anymore.
That's lame.
Right.
So we want to be encouraging. And what do you think?
I think when you strip it down to what the goals are of parenting, of coaching, of just about anything we do with our kids,
yes,
you can strip it down to, you know, what are we really looking to do because we're raising adults, right? We're not raising children. And in raising adults, I always come down to competence and resilience.
Mm-hmm.
And raising a child's hand who has just lost something and saying, you're always a winner, though it might give him this like inflated sense of something right in that moment,
right. It's
not realistic. He just lost something,
yes,
you know, so he's probably not stupid and recognizes that. And it does not do anything to foster competence or resilience.
Right.
Right.
Now, here's where it works on a pro level, because you say, well, these are just kids. These aren't professional karate players.
Right.
Karate
masters.
Right.
Or,
yeah. They're just
players.
Kids. Yeah. You don't play karate, dude. Whatever. All right. But Wendy and I were noticing, but we talked about it, that during the NBA playoffs, the guy throws a free throw and he misses it and all the guys come up and they high five him.
Right.
Which is, it's the adult version of this, isn't it?
Yes. But when I actually thought about that example, and that feels to me more like a little moment of encouragement, like, you know, hey, we're all in this together.
You'll make
this next one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a different message, and you're dealing with adults, you
know?
Although I do see when 7-year-olds are playing basketball, because they mimic what happens in the NBA, they will do the same thing, which is kind of endearing.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're giving each other the message that, you know, hey, you're always a winner. Thanks for missing the shot.
I took karate for several years. We didn't spar or anything. But if I was doing it and I lost and they raised up my opponent's hand and said winner and then said always a winner to me, I would look at them and go, are you kidding?
I just lost.
Yeah. Right.
You need to feel, and it's okay to feel disappointment and pain when you lose. Be a good sport about it, but maybe use that as inspiration to do your best next time.
Yeah, I think you guys are right, because I think when you say always a winner, you cut off this opportunity to say, okay, so you lost that particular karate match or whatever it is.
You played karate, but you didn't win when you played karate.
Right, your game of karate. But here's what you can do to improve on your karate game so that next time you can win, you know?
Yeah.
So building up that esteem and that confidence and that sense of self-worth instead of creating something false, you know? You cut off that entire opportunity. And it's a rich opportunity. It doesn't come along every day for parents, you know?
So true.
All right, real quickly before Becky's been on hold for a while. Becky, we only have about 30 seconds, so a comment or question for Dr. John Duffy.
Hi, I have a question. So piggybacking on that, I have a four-year-old that wants to do cheerleading gymnastics. We've been doing it for a little bit, but she gets discouraged very easily. I'm wondering how we can encourage it. She wanted a cheerleader bow. I told her she needed to earn it and do her very best and listen and try her best. So how do I encourage her to grow and not mess her up?
It's a great question, Becky. And you're already thinking along the right lines. In a way, you almost have to shift what the win is for her. And the win for her might be just getting out there and trying out. So even if she doesn't make it, you have that luxury of saying, hey, you know what? Next year we're going to give this a shot again, but I'm really, really proud of you for having the guts to go out there and give it a shot, you know? So I would shift what the win is for her and where you're building competence, because this is a struggle for a lot of kids, is just getting out there and doing. And if you can get her out there and trying, then you're halfway there. If not more so.
Good luck to you, Becky, and your daughter.
Thank you.
Thanks,
bye.
Becky.
I love you, Joey. I can't stop saying it.
It's really hard to be a parent. We try really hard to do our best every day, and sometimes we make mistakes. We just love them. And if you pick up The Available Parent, you will learn a lot more. He's Dr. John Duffy. Also look for his podcast, Undo Anxiety, and go to his website, drjohnduffy.com.
Yes.
Thank you so much, John.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, John. A quick break, some news, more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.